Whenever you're ready, Mr. President.
Okay, I'd like to call the February 14th, 2020 meeting of the Arizona State Board of Optometry to order at 9 a.m. And we have a roll call, please, Ms. Holland.
Dr. Cassagus?
Here.
Dr. Jones?
Here.
Dr. Moffett?
Here.
Dr. Hunter, noted absent. Dr. Mastodas?
Here.
Mr. Evanoff, noted absent. Margaret Whalen?
Present.
Paula Hollins is here. Mona Baskin?
Present.
Thank you. Item C, President's Report. I have nothing to report, but it is a big day, and we're going to have a presentation by Ms. Whalen to some past board members. I want you to know that I said that we should do this at the end of the meeting, but I was outvoted. But I thought you should have to stay for more board training today, but they said, no, that wouldn't be right. But let it be noted that Dr. Lamb isn't here, so we're going to give his to someone else.
Yes. He said that Dr. Peller scheduled him and he couldn't get off work. True story. I was like, all right. So here's a plaque that we'd like to present to Dr. Lamb, though, for his service. In recognition of 8 years of devoted service to the state of Arizona and its citizens from 2011 to 2019, Vice President from 2014 to 2015, thank you for your considerable work and devotion to the Arizona State Board of Optometry. So, that's for Dr. Lamb. And then Dr. Peller, if you want to come up, I'll meet you in the middle.
Would you like to state your name?
Do I have to raise my hand?
Civil Service Award presented to Mark Peller in appreciation of your outstanding and dedicated service to the citizens of the state of Arizona from 2011 to 2019, Vice President from 2018 to 2019, Arizona State Board of Optometry.
That's going to be in the Capitol News, front page.
Just 1 minute. Okay, let me get this going here.
Wow.
I'm blocking it.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Peller.
Thank you, Dr. Peller, for your contributions to the board.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Yes, well, Mr. Expertise and...
Oh, yeah, why don't you just drop that by the office?
He said he would get it to him since he's working so hard he can't get off.
Well, I still think Dr. Lamb should come to the board for an official goodbye.
I told him.
Right.
That'd make me feel bad.
Thank you, Dr. Cassagus.
Make me feel bad that Dr. Lamb didn't feel it was worth getting a day off. Except our congratulatory. Okay. Oh, and I forgot, as part of the President's Report, I can read the board meeting statement of purpose.
Thank you.
Okay, excuse me. A license to practice optometry in this state is a privilege granted by the Arizona Legislature through the Optometric Practice Act. In 1907, on behalf of the people of the state, the legislature created the Arizona State Board of Optometry to regulate the practice of the profession of optometry, issue licensure where appropriate, and in general assure the public that the practice of optometry will be conducted with reasonable skill and safety by persons who meet the curriculum requirements to hold a Doctor of Optometry degree from an accredited optometry school. To enforce the Optometric Practice Act, the board reviews applications for licensure and complaints relative to the conduct of its licensed optometrist and is charged with determining if the provisions of the Optometric Practice Act are met. In addition, the board may promulgate rules and policies in conformity with the stated purpose of the board and the mission as mandated by law. Effective January 1, 2019, all board meetings are digitally recorded with the recordings of the audio available to the public on the board's website under the consumer information link. Thank you very much. Item D, informal interview. Okay. This is the time and place for informal interview of John Riley, OD, license number OPT1207 and case number 201906. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 32-1701 and in accordance with the procedures required by ARS 32-1744. Dr. Riley, please come forward and introduce yourself for the record.
I'm John Riley. I've been an optometrist here since 2002.
Thank you. Are you represented by legal counsel? Would your attorney please introduce himself?
Good morning, Jody Mullis here, obviously on behalf of Dr. Riley.
Thank you. Dr. Riley, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing a non-disciplinary letter of concern with possible order for additional continuing education, degree of censure, ordering restitution, placing you on probation, assessing a civil penalty, or referring this matter to a formal hearing. If you have any questions on possible actions, please ask them now. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. We have read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now. During the course of the interview, if it is necessary to refer to clients or patients, please use initials only. Do you have anything else? Okay.
We do not.
Okay. This proceeding, well, it's not being recorded by a court reporter, but it is important for everyone to speak loudly and clearly, and only one person speaks at a time, if it's possible. I'm going to ask that the board members and staff introduce themselves for the record, and that all witnesses be sworn in by the court reporter at this time. I just read that. So if you could introduce yourself.
Kelly Moffitt. Stephanie Mastores. Darcy Jones.
John Chrysagas.
Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the board.
Margaret Whalen, Executive Director of the board.
Paula Holland, Licensing Administrator.
Thank you. Ms. Whalen will give a brief summary of the case, and then you'll be given the opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you questions.
Okay. Since the court reporter isn't here, can you please swear in Dr. Riley?
Sure.
And also Ms. Whalen, in case she provides any testimony from the...
Okay. Do they have to stand up or just raise your right hand?
They just have to raise their right hand.
Okay. If you could raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, and let the record reflect that Dr. Riley and Ms. Whalen both took the oath. Thank you.
So this will also help you count on the end of the TV deal. So can you give a summary, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. On or about February 12, 2019, a request was made by the custodial parent of the minor patients for records, so the exam results and proposed treatment could be presented to an ophthalmologist. As of February 25th, 2019, no records had been released to the patient or to the ophthalmologist. Dr. Riley did not respond to the board and has only sent partial records in response to the board's notice of complaint. While reviewing the partial records submitted with the complaint at a previous board meeting, the board noticed that there may be issues with the content of the records and or diagnosis and completeness of the records.
Thank you. Dr. Riley, would you now like to give, we'd like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary.
Mr. President, if I may.
Sure.
Excuse me. I do need to add regarding the response that may or may not have been received by Dr. Riley. It was indeed received. We've had some issues with the mail in our building. The U.S. mail comes into the state's mail room. It gets sorted and bundled, and sometimes optometry and ophthalmology, which is the medical board, get confusing to people that aren't aware of the difference. So at the time when the board initially heard this complaint, there was no response because we didn't have it in hand at the agency. It did show up on my desk months and months later, but it was date stamped at the appropriate time. So I would like the board to...
What was the date stamp?
Was it timely?
It was timely.
It was timely.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all that matters.
I apologize. I didn't write down the dates.
Okay. It's okay.
But I just wanted the board to possibly not consider that as an allegation because it was properly responded to. We just did not receive it on our end.
Okay.
But since it was responded to, we can still he can discuss and we can ask questions about how that all went down.
Absolutely. I just needed to clarify that for the record and for the board so that it didn't appear that he didn't respond.
Okay.
Right.
Perfect. Okay.
So Dr. Chrysagas, members of the board, as far as that one sentence in here, as far as that allegation, I think it's the third sentence, Dr. Riley did not respond to the board, has only sent partial records. I guess that when the board makes a consideration of that, you can make statements on the record that allegation is going to be dismissed because it is inaccurate, and that the records had been received by Ms. Whalen, however, had been timely submitted. However, due to administrative error with mail handling, they were misplaced and not placed in her mailbox for the board to consider.
Session.
Okay. Thank and would you. Council agree with that statement?
I would.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
That's correct. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Now, Dr. Riley, would you like to give? Would you like to give you an opportunity to?
Is it okay if I make a statement and I was going to turn it over to him?
Sure.
I think the summary of this was concise and on point. When the father had asked for the minor's records, Dr. Riley's office immediately started working on that. They weren't able to do it in a very quick fashion by email or fax just because the records were voluminous and it would have taken some time. Well, it probably could have been sent easily. So they put a package together and sent it off to the father. Unfortunately, similar to what happened with his response, they had changed systems at Target Optical and it didn't make it to the father and was returned. So by the time he followed up and said he hadn't received it, several days and I would say maybe almost 2 weeks had passed, he followed up and they immediately started working to process that again. The records were sent to him the day before he filed the complaint. So he did ultimately receive those records. It was just not in the time frame that he was hoping for. As part of his complaint to the board, he did not ask that any disciplinary action be imposed. He just wanted help with it. I think it kind of got complicated along this route because the records in response to the board complaint didn't make it as well, so there was concern that he wasn't complying with the board's orders. And we clarified that he did. And then one of the other outstanding issues at the last meeting was I think there was some concern on some notes that he had in his records, and so I wanted to address those first parts with you, and then Dr. Riley is obviously here with us to answer any questions and give you any other explanation you may need as to what transpired in this process.
Okay. Before we ask any questions, do you have anything to add?
No. Maybe just one little thing. I had a staff member that was primarily working with the father. And he was calling over and over and upset about the records not being there. She explained to him that they had come back and that she had already mailed them. And he was upset because his appointment, I think, was the next day. And he had wanted her to overnight them. And her response was, I've already mailed them and it's not our normal policy to overnight something. It's gonna cost us $50 or $60 to do that. It was a big, giant package of paperwork. The reason he needed most of those records in the first place was, as far as what she told me, was that we had always been getting him the records every year for the children, and he said he lost or his laptop was wrecked or something, so he didn't have all the old records. So he was asking for all of the years of kids' records. So it wasn't something that we could just fax really quick. It was a big stack of records to them. So that's why I think the whole process took so long.
Okay. Did he end up getting?
Yeah.
I know he got them. Did he end up getting the records before the appointment with the ophthalmologist? Just
I have no idea about that. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm sure. I'm guessing he did, or you don't know about it.
I think we probably would have.
Yeah. Okay.
May I just ask a quick question? Dr. Riley, so in your testimony today, what you're stating is that you had been providing the patient with the records on a yearly basis, and that this was just a supplemental or additional because of some issues that he had in maintaining those records.
Yeah, as far as I know, he was requesting the same thing because his children, I think, had just been seen.
Okay.
My dates are a little bit off, but I think they had just been seen. He was asking for that record. But then he also said, my laptop went down and I don't have all the old records, so can I get all of their records?
Okay. All right, thank you. I just didn't understand that part. Thank you.
Okay. It's open up for questions, any questions you might have. The other question I was going to have was the appointment that they had over spring break that you wanted the records for, that was with an ophthalmologist they had seen before, right? Before they started seeing you.
I think that's probable, yeah.
So that doctor already had knowledge of their conditions.
Right.
Any questions about anything on the...
No, that was my question. It was that a new doctor that they were seeing, and the kids didn't see that. But...
The, as far as before we have any discussion on the whole thing. I have a few questions just about the records and looking at the, and they're both, I mean, it's amazing how close the prescriptions are as far as the plus and the astigmatism. But the, when I look at, I'll just say Dee's record in 16, 17 and 18, there was a history of lazy eye. There was no surgery or VT, passive patch therapy. And there was a left esotropia. And refractive amblyopia on the left eye, and the bottom diagnosis was monocular esotropia OS. But there was no dilation, the patient had declined, or cycloplegia. 517, it had esophoria. 20/20 on the left eye, no diagnosis of amblyopia or exotropia, and no dilation. And then on 418, I don't know if you have the records there, the cover test again showed a left esotropia, and 20/20 on the left eye, and monocular esotropia OS. So I was going from esotropia to esophoria, amblyopia to 20/20 VA, and the patient was never dilated, which I can also say that patient W at a plus 7 and a plus 8 had also always declined dilation. I guess I just wanted to just ask a few questions, if you knew how this all went together.
So the first one where it was, there was like a mistake, and that's, I think it was in the 16.
Okay.
It was in a left esotropia, and in the at the bottom where the diagnosis code is, it says monocular exotropia, I believe.
Right.
So I think that was a missed pull-down menu. Like that was just a mistake, because all the other records later on said esotropia, left esotropia.
Yeah, they did. The and the, like I said, the diagnosis of amblyopia, but then 20/20 vision later. And so why the sensory motor exam in February, why was that done? What were your goals going to be with the sensory motor exam after the three exams? It was going to be for VT?
Right. So the mother, when they came to us, I think it was in 16, was their first visit, she had had the thought of doing vision therapy. She had researched vision therapy on her own and thought her children would probably benefit from that. So over the years, I had been talking to her that, you know, these kids aren't really that bad. Vision isn't too difficult for them. But as I recall, and a little bit of this is just memory, that their visual systems, obviously with all this plus, a little bit of eye turn and things, their visual systems were not real strong. And what she was hoping was that it would help their education and reading skills and things to have their eyes maybe go through some vision training. So my suggestion was then let's get them really tested, do all the sensory motor testing that we can do, and figure out if that's something that's going to benefit those kids.
Do you do vision therapy in your office?
Not at that office, but I do have a vision therapy clinic.
Not at?
It's a separate business, right?
Whenever a patients don't dilate at your office, do you have something that they sign, or you know, go over certain things, you know, stressing
in the beginning, at the onset of their intake, all the patients are told that the recommendation is from the doctors is that they should be dilated. And then they, I don't remember if we have a little specific sign for that, but it's in their, in the paperwork, in the intake paperwork. And if they decline, then we don't push it, I guess would be my way of saying it. I know this mother didn't ever want to have any of that kind of stuff done with her kids.
I'll say also that I share the concern that you've got a esotropia, amblyopic patient, no cyclotasia, and no dilation year after year after year. I would find it hard to justify that in my own records. So that's my thought when I look through all the records. I think it's in those kids' best interest, and the conversation is warranted. And it should be documented, I think, as well.
Yeah, that was my thoughts. If I move on to patient W, and I know he's got certain other issues, but he was diagnosed on the first exam with an unspecified disorder of binocular movement and spasm of accommodation, but yet there was no cyclopedia, and so and he came in with an ad, and he was given an ad, but I didn't see where the tests were ever done to determine where that would be. And so and that was fine in 16, 17. But then in 19, there was a diagnosis of intermittent alternating esotropia and convergence insufficiency. I didn't understand how those went together. But it was just, it just seems to me like there's more of a, a concise record, for lack of a better term, to put all these things together. It just seemed a bit haphazard to me in the way it was done, as far as the diagnoses and the RXs and the standard, quote unquote, standard of care issues. And I don't know if anyone agrees with that, but
I agree. I think esotropia and convergence insufficiency seem inconsistent.
Yeah.
So.
And that might have been a drop-down issue too, but as I have said for years sitting up here, is that we only know what we see, what we read, and so the we talk about that with doctors, and I talk about that with my staff and associates too. That what's on there is what's on there. What's even worse sometimes is what's not. Is are there any other questions anyone has? Any other comments?
I guess I have a question. So do you, if you run a vision therapy clinic, at least as part of your practice, would you say that these records reflect how you are with kids, you know, hyperopic kids, esotropia? Do you commonly forego cyclopedia and dilation, or do you try to make that a tenet of their exam?
Well, I've, with anybody that's high plus, I recommend it, and I don't, you know, I try and talk the parents into those things as a professional should, but I don't pressure anyone to do it. And I get a lot of parents who say, you know, the last place said they wouldn't even do my exam if they won't do it. I don't go to that length of it.
No more questions? Any further comments?
No, I just, the only last one is just a request to, you know, under the circumstances, especially with regard to, you know, the non-compliance with the complaint having been addressed and, you know, if there's any concerns with the records, but, you know, I would request that as an option that this be dismissed.
Okay. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. Based on the allegations stated in the notice of the informal interview for this case, the board will now discuss the issues at hand, deliberate, and decide what type of action, disciplinary or non-disciplinary, to take in this matter. The board will deliberate on each allegation in the notice of informal interview and prepare findings of facts based on evidence submitted at the interview. I ask that when deliberating, board members be specific, referring to patient only by patient's initials, and refer to any verbal testimony which may or may not support violations. And then we could deliberate, conclusions of law, should we get that far. So, I guess we'd start off with, obviously, the first and biggest allegation is the, for the most, the thing brought that brought us here was the lack of response to the board. And based on what I read in the testimony from the complainant, or whatever he's called, and everything else, and especially noting that the records were received in a timely manner, as far as discussion, this is not a motion. I don't have a problem. I think he did everything he needed to do. It was just a circumstance of having a problem doing it, overnighting, demanding patient, end up getting what he needed anyway. So I'd listen to any type of motion for that.
Motion before we can discuss further, or do we combine?
Yeah.
I think is this on everything before the board? Or?
No, I can't break it up into, meaning there are a couple different. The first one was no response and only sent partial records, which I think should be dismissed because he didn't.
Okay, or you could just discuss everything, and if you wanted to break it up that way, you could. You could find that portion of it. You could dismiss that if that's what you wish.
I'd like to do it just because I think it'll make it cleaner.
Okay, all right, that would be an option. Okay, so let's just be very specific regarding those allegations. Okay.
I make a motion to dismiss part of the allegation that Dr. Riley did not respond to the board and has sent only partial records in a timely manner. He did do that.
So we have a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. Motion and a second. Discussion? I don't. Okay. We will call for a vote. This is getting to be just the four of us most of the time. And I'll do a roll call. Dr. Jones?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
And I vote aye. It's unanimous. Moving on to the, as it states here, issues with the content, diagnoses, and completeness of the records.
Something that bothered me a little bit is just the plan, is not really well stated in the record, like patient needs to wear their glasses full time. This is the home VT that I prescribe. That part of it too. I mean, it's kind of lacking.
We don't have to be, as far as record keeping goes. If that's the issue, we don't have to be specific. We can just talk about record keeping. And dilation isn't really well. The record keeping could be. And that if there was a signed document that we had that discussion, because we all go through that. I mean, patients don't want to get dilated, don't want their kids to be dilated because the last time it lasted 5 days, and we hear it every day, but we still have to have the talk and do our best to try and do what's best for the patient. So there is a standard of care issue there too, but that could go along with. The record keeping issue. I don't like to make motions. I let you guys do that, but I can in this case where I just think a letter of concern regarding record keeping would be in order, a non-disciplinary letter of concern, because I think that carries more weight than we think sometimes, because just having someone here. Listening to what we're talking about and hearing our concern, I think it sends a pretty good message too.
I second.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second, but now we have to get into the whole allegations.
If you find that it's a non-disciplinary letter of concern regarding maintaining the standards regarding record keeping in the state of Arizona, pursuant to ARS 32, 217-44E, then I think you're fine. That's
yeah,
all you need
what
to
she
do.
Said.
With the letter, it tell it breaks it down.
You could be specific regarding completeness of records, regarding, you know, whatever you wanted to highlight. That would be fine too. I think the doctor and counselor are here today too, and they also heard the board's discussion. So, either way. But you, there needs.
I think the letter should reflect a questionable standard of care via the record keeping.
Well, I think we need to clarify that. We need to clarify what you mean by that, because you could state documentation regarding what was in the initial, what was in the allegations right here, regarding contact diagnosis incompleteness. I mean, that's what we have as far as our factual allegations.
Yes, and then also just the lack of documentation about the importance regarding dilation and cycloplegia and how that might affect kids this age with this diagnosis. So I just think that's in line with that.
We just have to figure out how to verbalize that. Verbalize it, but get it into the record. So not that you can make a motion, but how did you say that?
I stated that you would be issuing a letter of concern regarding the completeness of the records, and then you could just put regarding the completeness of the records and documentation regarding it appears that maybe what you're trying to say is that the conversations were had regarding the dilation, but maybe those conversations regarding advising the parents on the importance of it needed to be included in the medical record. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right.
There's no communication documentation regarding that, the right. importance of that.
It says right. discuss DFE in every single one, is what I see.
Yeah.
I did see that. I just saw it copied at the end of every single exam, just like it's already incorporated in there.
Right.
And so it doesn't actually look like you had a conversation that you expressed the importance of the parents.
And even if you do, it just looks, from what we see all the time here, it's the boilerplate stuff.
Right. Like it.
And anybody can write discuss DFE.
That's the only thing. Yes.
I'm just saying that the record shows that he did discuss it. And we can only go by the record.
Right. True, but it says it every time.
Yeah. Well, he probably tried every time. I try every time.
I do.
I
would say consent declination form might be something in the future. I just personally would think, you know, in the letter it needs to say, here's all the stuff that we expect to have in your record, and that's, you know, what we would want you to comply with, because there's several things in each record that's missing off of this list of 13.
I can include the administrative code where it has all the record keeping.
That might help him going forward.
Right. So make sure that's in here.
Just one last comment. If I wrote in the record, you know, discuss DFE with parents or with the parent of kids like this, and each time they decline, I might make the comment like, lengthy discussion today with the mother regarding the importance of cycloplegia in an esotropia amblyopic patient, just so it's very clear that I had that conversation. That's all I'm suggesting. So.
And sometimes when we do this, we also talk about continuing education, and I personally don't think it's necessary in this case. I think this is enough. For this issue right now. So there was a motion, right?
You made a motion.
I know, and I don't know what it sounds like anymore.
For a letter.
But how would you
stab at it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Dr. Chris Sagas moved to issue a letter of concern regarding record keeping being below the standard of care pursuant to ARS 32-1744-E for lack of completeness of records and documentation for cycloplegia and dilation. There was no communication documented regarding communication with the parents, and the board wishes to include Arizona Administrative Code R-421-305 record keeping.
And I might just say inadequate communication.
Thank you.
There was a second to that?
Yes.
Yeah, second.
Any further discussion on that motion? Hearing none, we'll vote by roll call. Dr. Jones?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
And I vote aye. It's unanimous. Thank you very much.
Okay, and regarding, there is, appears to be, you broke it down, there seems to be another allegation. The third allegation regarding the responsiveness of the disclosure of the records to the parent, if you, I don't
know. Oh, I thought we included that in the first one where.
Well, you did say that they met the request or the records request, but you didn't really have a motion or anything, you were just talking about it. So
okay. If
you want to make that motion and vote on it, that would be.
I'll make a motion to dismiss the allegations of no response or untimely response from Dr. Riley's office to the parent.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Dr. Jones?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
And I vote aye. Unanimous. Now, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent job. Thank you.
I guess I never called it.
Pardon?
I never heard of a break in. Item E. Review, discussion, and possible action on investigative review complaints. A Red Bergener OD, IR number 202006. This was us asking for proof or records that a refund was given. Thank you. And we got the proof. Not only did we get the proof of the refund, but he let it be passed. So I guess that's all we needed to do. We said we saw it. We wanted to see it.
Well, you need to dismiss it now. So
okay. If
there could be a motion in a second, that'd be great.
I make a motion to dismiss the Kate complaint against Dr. Bergner.
Due to no violation of the Optometric Practice Act.
Thank you.
Second.
And a second. Thank Any discussion? Okay. We got to go back to our Dr. Moffitt. Oh, wait, I forgot Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
And I vote aye. Unanimous? Okay. Item F, Executive Director approval of new license application pursuant to ARS 32-3123.
That's my list.
Okay. They're all good?
Yes.
They're all fine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They've all met the requirements of the law.
So what we need now is a motion to accept items A through G for licensure.
I make a motion to accept items A through G for licensure in the state of Arizona.
Perfect.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion?
Okay, and actually, they have been granted licensure, so are you just ratifying the granting?
I guess we're, yeah.
So it would be, if you could just add ratification of grant of licensure to the motion.
Make a motion for ratification
of licensure.
Well, they don't really have to.
Mr. President, members of the board, in the future, you don't have to ratify the decision if you don't want to. I just put it on there again for the record.
Okay.
I think it'll look good.
So, okay.
We,
I agree.
Way,
I mean, it's,
that
you
way,
know, I don't love doing it, just so you know.
We're keeping tabs on.
I just think it's the board's, you know, obligation, not the executive director's. But
yeah, but you know, we're
the governor didn't ask us. So.
We're evolving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a good way to look.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Right. Dr. Jones.
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt.
Aye.
Dr. Mastores.
Aye.
And I vote aye. Unanimous again. No item G, no item H. Item I, review discussion of possible action on approval of a testing center for proctoring of jurisprudence exam. Pursuant to R421203. University of Houston College of Optometry. Well, I guess if you can't give it to them, what are we doing here? So is that just a motion to accept them?
As a testing center. Right.
I'll make that motion.
Yes.
To accept them as a testing center.
Second.
Any discussion? Dr. Jones?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
And I vote aye. J, review discussion and possible action on approval of continuing education as provided by ARS 32-1704 and ACR 421-210. Okay, I gotta open my computer for some of these. Bring up item A, concussions 2020, the public health epidemic. We've had these before. We've given credit before, we've given partial credit before, where we've gone through and looked at each course and decided what was, let's say, quote unquote, eye related and what was not. Are there any thoughts on that?
I guess I have a concern. 7.25 hours of CE for concussions seems questionable to me. Not that concussions aren't important and traumatic brain injury patients aren't important and that we don't consider them at time and take care of them at time. However, 7 hours of CE for concussions for an optometrist seems like a lot of hours to count towards something that is such a small subset of practice. So that's my concern.
And even if it's not a small subset of your practice, it might be a larger subset of others.
Right.
But 7 hours is still
yes, it's over 25%.
I'm going to say over 25.
2 year, yeah, obligation. So
what is this
therein lies my concern.
Pardon?
Who are these people?
The Catholic Foundation.
I've never heard of them.
Well, it looks like a good. I mean, I thought it looked like an interesting.
Empowerment Systems. Oh, the Empowerment Systems are putting it on the Cactus Foundation. I mean, I actually, one of the speakers is a patient of mine and does work with, you know, TBI patients and does a lot of work with Nihon Beam as far as brain injuries. So, I mean, we could go through this and see what, I mean, because not everything, I don't think everything really relates to the eye. There's not that many of them. We can go down and see and add up what we think, if someone went to this, what we could give them for it. Or approve it all or not approve any of it. It just seems like with TBI being something that a lot more people are doing, you know, it might be like, for sure, obviously the Shearer lecture.
Yeah.
That's definitely.
That works. Maybe the neurocognitive assessment.
I was going to say that.
Therapy.
And I don't think. Would it be okay if we said we would give an optometrist, let's say, 3 hours of credit for this without saying specifically what it is they have to go? Are we assuming they're going to go all day? Or we have to be specific?
I think you need the specific courses that you wish, because our continuing education hour is defined in law, so every 50 minutes constitutes 1 hour of continuing education.
Okay. Wow. Because if I start at the top, I have a problem with the first one, second one, intimate partner violence. Right. But, I mean, mechanisms and bio responses to concussions. I'm not as concerned about gender differences, but just the mechanisms and bio responses to concussions.
I mean, we could do more like more of a half day where they go, because it seems like in the afternoon, it's more vision. You know, you've got the neurocognitive, you've got the vision one. You know,
yeah.
You could say, like, you know,
yeah, because I mean, there's just too much like concussions and domestic violence in indigenous populations. I'm sure that's important, and that doesn't really help an optometrist. I mean, I can see it's a half hour, it's 45 minutes.
And I don't know, yeah, IPD victims are. I don't know what that is, CTE and IPD victims.
I'm Mr. President, members of the board, just a reminder, the purpose of the CE is it going to teach you something that you will use in your practice?
Right.
It doesn't just have to be relevant to, you know, optometry, but is it going to,
right,
you know, be a teaching moment or increase your knowledge and things like that?
And
I'm sure they're all respectable courses, but they're not really geared, right, towards optometrists. So.
Right. So I have an hour and 15 minutes with those two. We could almost say that the afternoon is worth 2 hours of CE. That's just a suggestion. Just because it just doesn't, because some of this stuff I don't think would be, but I, you know, like I said, I wouldn't mind including it for people to do that stuff. So, thoughts?
I think the 215 to 245 would be a yes. I think the 245 to 330, so that's that 45 minutes and 75 minutes. That's what looks most appropriate to me as CE for maybe one of us or someone like us to go to.
An hour and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's why we just went up to two, only because there's probably something they could get out of these other lectures that would bring it up to 2 hours, which would be 100 minutes. So we're adding another 25 minutes.
Fist, not football?
Pardon? Yeah.
I said fist, not football.
Fist, not football.
Well, you could just do the 2 hours based on the two courses. I mean,
yeah, they're just kind of funny times.
It's at least 50 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't,
right,
have to be.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, you would assume if they have interest in this that they're going to go rather
take the whole.
Take the whole thing or go for the afternoon and not just those two courses. That's why I don't have a problem saying 2 hours of CE for.
Well, we can list the two specific courses, but if they want to take the whole thing, we would just say it's 2 hours either way for the whole.
And if they only take the two, is it 2 hours? Can we still do that?
But yes, that's what you were saying, or what Dr. Moffitt had said, the two courses that she listed.
Yeah. They just don't quite
have. Even though they only come to
100 minutes.
They only come to 75 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, you could do one and three, so it'll be 1 3/4, 1.5 hours,
yeah,
1.5?
Yeah.
I mean, they submitted 7 1/4
can't
hours,
we find
so.
Something else? 25 minutes to get up to 100.
I mean, I don't mind the quarter hour. That doesn't bother me.
It doesn't?
No.
It
does. I mean, it's up to you, of course. If it bothers you, then.
What's a DV victim?
Domestic violence.
Oh, yeah. It's only everywhere else. Yeah, because a lot of this, I think, has to do with the psychosocial aspects of.
Well, if you don't feel strongly about any of the classes, Dr. Krasakis, members.
No, I think a couple of them. I think the two that we mentioned are fine. And if you want to do, actually, 75 minutes would be 1.5. We wouldn't even have to do 1 1/4. We just
do
1.5.
It looks most appropriate to me,
yeah.
I guess.
Is that,
I'm having a hard time.
Is that a motion? Do we have a motion?
Well, you would make a motion to accept the
courses. I just
didn't
know we had one already.
Oh, no, we don't.
Okay.
And just remember, if you don't agree with accepting those hours, you want to vote no.
You had to bring that up.
I did.
That was for me.
Continue training.
Okay. All right. I'll make a motion that we accept those two courses for 1.5 hours of continuing education towards their optometric licensure.
All right, and can Dr. Krasakis, may we have those specific courses stated?
Sure.
In the record?
It was the 215 to 245 neurocognitive assessments, and the 245 to 330 vision and balance evaluation. Yeah, evaluation.
Okay. I second that.
Any further discussion? Dr. Jones?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
And I vote aye. All right. B and C kind of go together. I personally have a few questions about this.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to find out anything?
I was. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. When these courses were submitted, I did some research because also this is not the only course. We've had three or four other requests for surgery observation. So I sent an email out to my collegial boards that I meet with through ARBO and other. Some of the responses I received back are Kansas does allow up to 4 hours of surgery observation. Virginia allows it if it's relevant to the doctor's practice. They did provide some language that was kind of specific as to how they determine that. Minnesota also allows it if it's part of grand rounds. Nevada allows it if it's part of a COPE-approved presentation and part of grand rounds. And Maryland does also allow it up to 8 hours per renewal period. So I think if the board wanted to start considering that, the only thing I would ask or maybe defer to Ms. Baskin is, I'm not sure if we would need a rules change because all of our other continuing education types are specified in rule. So I would possibly have some concern that we might need a rule to allow for that because we have it for the, you know, the opioid and the management diseases of the eye for practice management, like all of our requirements are listed. And not that this would be a requirement, but I guess the question's out there, so I don't know. I mean, we may not. I mean, we may not.
As we speak, are you researching that?
Yes, and I did think about that because I did leave Ms. Whalen some voicemail messages regarding the content of this continuing education, specifically the surgery. And if you take a look under AAC R421-209, on page 9 of the Arizona Administrative Code in your law book, it states that at least 8 hours of the approved continuing education in the area of diagnosis, treatment would be the surgery and management of the diseases of the eye, and its annexa and pharmacological use to the authority held by the licensee. So it would be the board's decision whether or not this type of continuing education, I think, would fall within that subsection. Right. And if you find that it does, which not being an optometrist, but just legally and with some medical background of my own, it appears that there could be an argument made in favor of it, but it would depend. You would need to rely on your expertise as doctors regarding that.
Being the cynic that I can be sometimes, I see potential for abuse.
Yes, that's what I was.
In this, to where, not naming any names, but a large referral center that deals with optometrists all the time to get their referrals could say, yeah, come on by, a couple hours. How long does it take to do cataract surgery? 10 minutes?
10 minutes max.
So you're going to sit there and watch for 2 hours? I don't know how it could be. Now you could say, well, these are medical professionals saying that they're going to do this for 2 hours. We need to be able to trust someone. That's true. But we wouldn't have COPE if we trusted everybody. I don't know. It just seems like, I think it's a great idea. I think you can learn a lot by watching. We could almost even make it, it would almost be nice to make it mandatory where you can see what they do. But we need to try to do that. It just seems like if this was something that could be done, Dr. Pinker would have done it a long time ago, especially sitting on the board.
There's something to be said for observing it. I mean, but then once you've seen one, you know, do you really need to
see?
And
how many times can they do it?
I know.
And how are they going to
educate your patients and prep them for surgery?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's why I don't think it's a problem.
What if you said, hey, that we would approve 1 to 2 hours, I don't know, 1 hour a year if surgical.
That would require a rule change.
Oh,
you need to act on what's before you on the agenda and make a determination if it fits underneath your rule.
Without a rule change, could someone do this 10 times in a period if they wanted to?
Well, it's only one course that you've approved this year.
Couldn't I take it? Right, but they're going to come back.
you can only get credit for taking one course in one renewal period. So, and if you only approve 2 hours, then...
And next month when they come up with...
For each day of observation, right?
Yes, it's not a day of observation, it's 2 hours, isn't it?
It's 2 hours, but I think it includes all of these surgeries.
Blepharoplastic ptosis, lichen.
The one, yeah, ctosis.
That was several, yeah, right.
Well, anyone answer? So, I mean, I think if you were observing six different procedures, that just applies to you.
And I'm sorry, B and C aren't the same. I was thinking of the two from ophthalmic surgeons, where the Keele University is different. That's my bad. I was thinking B and C were, because there was one from Mansueto and one from Conti, I think, from ophthalmic surgeons and physicians.
So I'm kind of inclined to approve this one from Mansueto with six different, that looks like a good 2 hours spent as far as I'm concerned.
And I can't remember, is it all of them?
But it is for each day of observation, so.
I know, I can't tell.
Can we limit it to only one time? You can only do this one time.
Yeah, I would say 2 hours total for all of them.
You could do that.
I'm down.
For all of the listed procedures.
But not each day. I mean, I don't think you can come back like day after day.
No, 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 exactly. Like 12 hours.
Six,
yeah. Yeah. No, no.
So, I agree. No, look at the bottom. Observation of any of the above for a total of 2 hours.
So I think we could approve 2 hours for all of the above. That's what I think that.
But that means you might go back
if you
five times.
Yeah, that's okay. But this is really for your own betterment.
Sure.
But, I mean,
I've observed surgeries and never had any CE awarded to me as
exactly.
a result. So that's what it is right now. We're giving something. That's what I think.
That's not how it's being presented to us.
Yeah, right.
Any of the above.
So could we go back and say, we'll accept this, but it's 2 hours if you do.
How can you schedule that, though? I mean, you can't predict.
That's what I say. You have to go back. No, you would have to go back five times unless she happened to have two or three of them on the same day.
I just feel like that's basically creating a nightmare. It's not going to happen. They're not going to have all four of those every time. Right?
No, I mean, you couldn't schedule each procedure back to back, but
I don't think it.
If you work with someone or around someone and you.
But then that limits who gets to take that,
or
who gets that CE.
Or we can say, they can observe any of them, we'll give an hour. These surgeries
then up to 6 hours available.
Could we put a stipulation on that? Without a rule?
Yeah. Yes, you could. Right, because you're just going to be determining this specific program that's before you, so you could put specific parameters on it.
Okay.
That are clear, that, you know, would give the licensees notice on what they have to do.
Yeah, because otherwise, you
can
go watch a...
What it's kind of saying is
you
go
this.
To the surgery
and get
whatever happens during those two
right.
hours, hopefully it's one of these things, right? So
right.
it's just a time frame.
Right.
Who knows what it'll be on that day.
That's true, too. They're probably going to put you in there on a day that they're doing multiple surgeries. They may be all blepharoplasties, but if you're there for 2 hours, you could do that, or we could just say, do it for an hour. And then if they do it for an hour, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they could do up to 5 hours.
Six.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I feel like if we're gonna say it, then it's like 2 hours per year. Like you can go watch surgery.
Yeah, because what if they come back and
is that a rule?
Even though this isn't really, most of the time they come
well,
to us.
Well, if it's general, it is. If it's regarding this class, course, then.
Most of the time they come to us with a day. Mm-hmm. This class would be this day.
I don't think
any time of the year. We could say that you can do it once in a renewal period. Could we say that? Because this
that
is not.
That would be a rules change also.
Really? Because they're not giving us a day. Like everyone else would say, okay.
Right, you just say as scheduled through the end of the year. I mean, the thing is, I kind of would like to see a rules change. And I know Dr. Jones, that's why you keep going back to it, because it makes more sense to, it's obviously trending and a lot of the boards are starting to offer hours. I mean,
it's beneficial, I mean, to watch this.
That's something that we could.
I also think some of the other schools.
I don't think you should do 12 hours of observing that.
You know, it makes you all the better.
I think the Grand Rounds thing sounded great when other people, it's got to be part of Grand Rounds.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the challenge is, like I said, This is just one request. We've had three others that I've already said no because it isn't in our statute. Well, and they didn't submit anything. They just would ask, like, hey, can we watch surgery and get credit? And I'm like, we have to submit a request.
I don't have a problem denying this if you think it's something that we can work on. And you can just say, we're working on it. We have to deny it now because it's not part of what we do. But what are the chances of getting, what are the chances of getting a rules change?
You'll find out in my director's report.
Okay.
It's slim to none right now.
Really?
What's slim to none?
Getting a rules change.
Even though we're making it easier for an optometrist to do his business in Arizona?
I mean,
which is what the governor's all about.
Right, right. Yeah, that might get through faster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're not doing it for us. We're doing it for the doctors to be able to.
It removes some of the burden because it opens up the scope of which, you know, the kind of CE they can get.
Yeah. I mean, cause I don't know, unless you think we're